Amen. All right, let's turn to the book of Nahum tonight. The book of Nahum. And we'll look here at verse 1 of Nahum chapter 1. We'll ask the Lord to help us tonight. Just want to try to be a blessing tonight. And so good to be back again here at Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. Nahum chapter 1. I'll figure this thing out here. All right, Nahum chapter 1 and verse 1 here tonight. The bird of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Escalite, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on for his adversaries and reserve wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh dry, and drieth up all the rivers of Bashan languishes, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes, and the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Now, who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, tonight. I pray that you'd help us, and help us just to be in blessing, help us be an encouragement to the precious believers here at Island Ford Baptist Church. I pray you bless those that are listening by the way of radio this evening, Lord, that God you touch in your name. Amen. Preacher wanted to give us a little update before we get into our message. You may be seated. The preacher wanted to give us a little update on the work there. I'm not sure if everyone has met us before or not. And so I kind of take it as some of maybe new into the church. So good to see so many young families. Praise the Lord for that. All the children. That's a blessing. Amen. Especially on Wednesday night. We are the Tule family. We're working out of the Concord Baptist Church there in Fairmount, Georgia. My pastor is Brother Randy Sutherland. He's my pastor. I was trained under Dr. Sammy Allen, Dr. Stennett Ballou, and Dr. Billy Gooseby with the Bible College there at the Faith Baptist Institute there. And Saka, Georgia, received our training, met my wife on deputation, and thank the Lord. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Thank the Lord. Dr. Allen introduced us. He didn't know that he believed in arranged marriages. That's kind of how it kind of worked out. Amen. But I guess it worked out all right. 30 years. I was in a meeting many years ago there at Brother Allen, and we was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Brother Allen, I was sitting with the preacher on the front row, and he mentioned, it said, see that young lady in the choir singing in youth choir, and said she could be your wife one day. And so after the service, he went up there and started talking to her and her mama and wanted to pitch her and everything. And of course, I had no idea all this was happening. Then he comes down to the basement of the church, getting ready to get a shower, go out to eat, and he gave me the picture. And so, who's this? Is that young lady in the choir? I got you a date. I got you a date on Thursday night for the service. You're supposed to go over there early, and we're going to find out if she can eat, she can cook or not. And so we can't have a preacher's wife that can't cook. Amen. And so we find out, I guess everything worked out. A year later, we were married. A year after that, we went on the mission field. Probably would not recommend that. Go to the mission, a foreign mission field, just being married a year. But God had it all in plan. And we thank the Lord. God's been good to us as we've been there now for 29 years. In the country of Great Britain, it's been known as a graveyard for missionaries. But I'm glad that we began to pray as we went over there. And so, Lord, I'm not come here just to reach children. We didn't just come here to have a children's ministry, but we wanted to see families. And we want to see grandpas and grandmas be able to get saved and have an old-fashioned church, just like we have here at Island Ford Baptist Church. And people said, well, when we went to England, they said it can't be done. You can't have an old-fashioned preaching church that believes in old-fashioned standards and old-time religion. It can't be done over here. It can't be done by man, but God can do anything. And we thank the Lord for what the Lord has done up the LifeGate Baptist Church. We first started our first work in Leicester, England, a city of over 500,000 people. And we thank the Lord for that work. We was there for about 9.5 years. And then God led us to Kettering, England, the hometown of William Carey, where William Carey came from. And God helped us start the Kettering Independent Baptist Church there. And then about 4 or 5 years later, the LifeGate Baptist Church, the next town over from us, had an English pastor, but he resigned the church. And he went in, felt the Lord was leading him to start a church up in northern England where there were no churches. And so I kind of debated Brother Pavitt for a number of years about that. I said, you are what we're trying to produce. I'm not trying to replace you. But God had different plans, and I kind of fought the will of God about that. We were meeting in a school building and paying $1,000 a month just to rent one room in a school, and they had their own building. And so I kind of kept kind of fighting the will of God. Really, it didn't make sense. And sometimes God does things that don't make sense. And this was one of those instances there. And we had evangelist Tim Green. Dr. Tim Green was with us, preached revival. And I got a meeting with Brother Green up at LifeGate Baptist Church. And then he's preaching a meeting in our church. And Brother Green just came out of the blue and said, it don't make sense. And said, you don't got a building. They have a building. And said, what? And he didn't know the situation even that we're praying about. It. And so it just makes sense that you all merge your churches together. And so God worked it out. And it's kind of strange how Brother Green just brought it out of the blue. Because with Brother Tim Green, you don't have to wonder what he's thinking. He's very blunt what he's thinking. And a number of years ago, we was at the Parker Memorial Baptist Church giving an update. And Dr. Green, before he died, Dr. Green actually said, my son Tim said something good about you. And he said, that doesn't happen very often. God just started blessing there. And the town of Corby is a town of 60,000 people. And it's a deprived town. A lot of crime, a lot of drugs. Matter of fact, just around the corner from a church, someone got stabbed. It's not a town that I would probably choose to go to, but that's what God had. And God had us to go there. And a lot of people said, when Brother Pavitt left to go to northern England and start another church, he's leaving because there's no hope there. But God had different plans. And when we was on our deputation raising our support to go to England, a lot of people wouldn't support us because we're going to Europe. They said, Europe's already heard the gospel, and so we don't believe in supporting missionaries going to Europe. We want to go to countries where the most unreached countries in the world, like the Philippines or Africa and different things like that. But I knew that was the will of God. That God wanted us to reach out to the 750 million souls across Eastern and Western Europe with the gospel, and the 60 million people there in Great Britain, and it just didn't make sense. But God knew what's best. He knew what was the will of God. It takes more than just a burden to go to the mission field. It takes a call of God. And that's why I'm afraid that many missionaries don't stay long enough in order to see the fruits of their labor for the glory of God. And next year will be our 30th year on the mission field, and we thank the Lord what God's doing. We're going to be having a missions group coming over. And so if anyone from Island Four is interested going on a missions trip, Brother Dwayne Moore and Brother Stacy Piercy will be leading that group. They'll be taking a group over here from America, and they'll be with us for about 2 weeks. And we're going to have we're going to go out door to door and give out John and Romans. Our goal is to reach over 5,000 homes with the gospel during that time. Right now we're working on getting the John and Romans and getting the covers printed professionally, hopefully by Bering Christian Seed up in Ohio. Hopefully we're going to help us with that, and our goal is to get that out, the gospel out, but also we're going to show the great Christian heritage that's in England, see where William Carey came from, see where John Newton came from, seeing some of the greatest men of God that ever walked on the face of the earth, see that and see the need that's in Europe needs the gospel. We need more preachers. We need more churches. We need more missionaries. It's not as easy as it was when we first went there, but it's not impossible. So you pray for us there to reach the 60 million people in Great Britain. I forgot to ask the preacher, do I have to refrain some things what I say in the pulpit since we're live? Oh, okay, okay. I don't want to get the preacher in trouble here. Tonight. I forgot to ask him about it. But in England, is the size of the state of Alabama. And you imagine a Great Britain is just the size of the state of Alabama. In Alabama, there's 4.5 million people. So you imagine putting 60 million people there. It's a small country, but a lot of people that need the gospel. And when people said it could not be done, I'm glad that God is doing it. Not because what we have done, because what He's done. Because I can't do anything without the Lord's help. I'm the most unlikely person to see anything be able to be done in England. My personality is totally different from the British people. The British people are quiet, they're reserved. And I hear this brother, someone that's having problems with hearing. Well, you won't have a problem of hearing tonight, probably. I'm just, it shows God has a sense of humor. Call me to come to go to England, but God's been good to us, and we thank the Lord all what the Lord's done. I thank you for Island Ford Baptist Church for your faithfulness. Thank you for Pastor Shepherd for his friendship. I believe we've been friends now for 32 years. I believe that we've been friends. I was looking in some of my stuff today, and it's hard to believe it's been 8 years, I believe, since we've been by here, by the church here. I think the last time we was here, Brother Ballou was here in the missions conference, and so hard to believe it's been that long, but I appreciate Brother Shepherd. I appreciate his stand and still standing in these last days, especially with a Christian radio station. Now, I was going up the road, and I was a little concerned today as I was turning into the radio in our rental car, and I turned it in to the call letters of WSOF here, and I heard contemporary music. And I said, oh no, has he changed? I said, well, that certainly cannot be it. And so we turned it off, and then we got across the Kentucky line down there, and then we turned it back on again, and then I heard Brother Shepherd's laugh. And I said, all right, there he is. Amen. But we thank the Lord for the church here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your support, your prayers. Pray for us as we'll be flying back on the 22nd of July. I encourage anyone to have an opportunity. Faith Baptist Camp will start their meetings this coming Monday night. And so pray for the camp meeting. If you can't come, at least pray for the services there. We have some of the greatest men of God that will be there, and we thank the Lord for that. And pray for us as we fly out and come back. We thank the Lord. We had a furlough relief missionary been filling in for us, and I thank the Lord for them. It wasn't possible for us to be back for nearly 6 months without them. And so they're from Wilson, North Carolina, and they've been in Asia for over 20 years, and now they're filling in for missionaries so they can go on furlough. It's a real needed ministry. And pray for them. They do need to raise more support to be able to be effective at what they're doing. But they've been a tremendous blessing. And it's been a blessing not have to call back every other day wondering how are things going. They've just been done a great, great job. And pray for us as we fly back and get back into the work there at the LifeGate Baptist Church. We have prayer cards in the back. Please take that prayer card and pray for us. We need your prayers. And many people might wonder, why do we need missionaries in England? Less than 3% go to any type of a church today in the country of England tonight. And in Kentucky and North Carolina, many places in the South, instead of having a church in every corner like we have here in the South, we have a pub in every corner instead. And there's more, it breaks my heart, but there's more mosque in the country of Great Britain tonight than there are fundamental Bible-believing churches. There's over 3,000 mosques in the country of the Great Britain tonight. You go to the city of London, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Birmingham, England, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Leeds, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the Blackburn, the city of Blackburn, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Sheffield, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Oxford, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Luton, the city, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Rochdale, the city is a Muslim. All these cities are cities over 100,000 people. There's 3,000 Muslim mosques across England. There's 130 million Sharia courts of law in our country. There's over 50 Muslim Sharia councils in the country of England. There are Muslim only no-go areas in the UK that you would not go into that community if you was not a Muslim. There's Muslim women that 78% don't work, but they live free on benefits and housing. There's over 63% of Muslim men that do not work, but they live on housing. We're seeing that Muslim families that have 6 to 8 children, they're living on benefits and on free government housing. And we're seeing that this has all been achieved by just 4 million Muslims out of a country of over 60 million people. And if America, if we don't wake up, we're going to end up just like England has gone. This is nothing to see what's happening in our country here of America, as much that we are beginning of an invasion, just like Great Britain has. But we're trusting that God's going to help. You know, we're cussing and fuss about the Muslims, but I believe we need to try to reach them with the gospel. I believe that Muslims can be saved just as much as Americans can be saved, just as much as British can be saved. And you pray in our church. We have over 12 different countries represented in our church. We really should call our church the International Baptist Church, because we have so many different countries represented. 60% of our congregation is from Africa. A number of years ago, I wanted to go to Africa to be a missionary, but God wouldn't give me the liberty. I had a burden to reach Nigeria, West Africa. I didn't know that Nigeria was going to come to us. I didn't know that these African countries were going to be moving into our city, and now we're reaching them with the gospel. We've seen in the past, in our vacation Bible schools, that 95% of the kids in vacation Bible school came were from Africa. And so we're trying to reach these people. We're trying to reach the Africans. We're trying to reach the Filipinos. We're trying to reach Eastern Europe with the gospel. Many of these people may not be in England forever, but the time that we got to reach them, we're trying to reach them, and thank the Lord for that. And we thank the Lord for the American military families that have been stationed there in England, and through the years we've had a great response to the American military that we reached to them, and now they're serving in churches and independent fundamental Bible believing churches all over America, and I thank the Lord for that. We have people in Louisiana, people in Texas, people in Ohio, people in different parts of our, even people in even Hawaii, and we thank the Lord for that. And many times they will come for 3 or 4 years, and we've had an opportunity to reach them, and we've actually had one military family who's serving the Lord as a deacon in a church in Texas tonight, that they drove 150 miles one way to come to be our services on a Sunday. And now that might not seem a lot, but when gas is $8 a gallon, that's a lot. That's a big sacrifice. They came out of Brother Alfred Willis's church there in South Carolina, and they kept complaining. They knew that we were there, and they kept saying, "No, I don't want to drive how far just to be able to go to church." And finally, so one day his wife said, "Hun, let's just go and at least visit Brother Tooley's church." And so they came out on the service there, and they was with us. And then on the way home, the husband was really quiet. And his wife said, "What's wrong?" They said, "We're going to be driving. We're going to be driving how long to drive to church now every Sunday now after I've been there. I knew we shouldn't have went." But they were a real blessing to us, and now they're serving Lord, in a good fundamental church there in Texas. And we just thank the Lord all what the Lord has done. And you pray for us as we go back, that we're not looking to retire, but we're looking to refire. And we just believe the old time preaching will still get the job done. People said it can't be done. I'm not going to England to have barbecues. I believe preaching is going to get the job done. The Bible said faith coming to hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we've been able to give out 5 million pieces of gospel literature in these last 29 years, and we're going to continue to do that and continue to reach souls. And I believe a track will go where I can't go. A John or Roman will go where I can't go. I believe the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God will do that. And you pray for us as we do this for God's glory. But here in the book of Nahum, I want to preach for just a little while tonight that the Lord is good. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you come tonight. Lord, I pray that God, you'd help us tonight. Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, I don't want to be worried from you, but Lord, I want to be the words from me, but words from you. Well, thank you for it. In your name, amen. The book that we've read from tonight is probably a hard book to read, the book of Nahum. It's a book what we call from the minor prophets. That doesn't mean that the message is any less important than the message of the prophets called the major prophets. But the label simply means that the message in the minor prophets is shorter than the message of the major prophets. The book bears the name of the prophet Nahum. His name means comfort. His name means consolation. It's a shortened form of the name Nehemiah. The city of Capernaum was named after Nahum. And the Jews called the city of Nahum. And the name Nahum is the name means a comfort. It's a strange name for this book because the book of Nahum is a book of judgment. It's a book of harsh pronouncement of doom against the people who abandoned the ways of God. And the book is a sequel to the book of Jonah. About 100 years earlier, Jonah was sent to the city of Nineveh, which was the capital city of the nation of Assyria. And Jonah entered in that city preaching a message of judgment. He didn't come in to have a barbecue. He didn't come in to give out some hot dogs. He came to preach the word of God. And when the Ninevites heard the message of Jonah, they repented of their sins, and the Lord spared their city. A century has passed, and they've turned away from the commandments that they made to God. And by the time the book of Nahum was written, the Assyrian Empire was at the height of their military and their national power, and they were on the march of seeking to expand the boundaries of their kingdom. And beyond that, the Assyrians were guilty of attacking the nation of Israel. And God used them to punish Israel for their sins. But God would also punish Assyria for their disobedience and their hatred to the people of God. And so Nahum's message is one of judgment in verse 1. And Nahum refers to the message as of a burden. And that burden, that means heavy. And his message was a heavy message because it was a message of doom. It was a message of judgment. And Nahum's prophecies were fulfilled when God allowed the Assyrians to be conquered by the Babylonians. And so while Nahum's message was a message of judgment, but Nahum's refers to that message of burden. And while Nahum was one of judgment and it was one of wrath, we see there's one bright spot that I want to refer to in verse 7. In the midst of all the words of wrath, amidst all the words of anger, amidst all the words of doom, the verse stands like a shining beacon of hope in a dark and stormy night. And I want to park there for a little while in verse 7. I want to borrow the words of Nahum when he said that the Lord is good. And I want to show you some reasons that I can see in these verses that teach us that the Lord is good. We notice we have a heavenly assurance. Nahum clearly says here in verse 7 that the Lord is good. The statement is made against a clear backdrop of God's judgment on the Assyrians here. But this should encourage us today because our nation, just like the ancient Assyrians, have wandered away from God. And the Assyrians were the vilest. They were the meanest people of that era, but they were no more violent
vile, and they were no more evil than the people of America are today. And we've revived of God's law, and we've ignored God's word, and we've found countless ways to cut God out of our lives today. And as a result, America is a nation under the judgment of God. Is it any wonder we're seeing the floods that we're seeing today? Is it a wonder that we're seeing things happen in our society today? Because I believe that we are going against the will of God, and we've gone against the word of God. But thank God for churches like the Island Ford Baptist Church that's trying to stay faithful. There's still some men of God that's still trying to take a stand and still trying to preach this old time religion. I'm glad of that, just like it was in the days of these days and the turmoil in our society, and we see the upheaval in our economy, and we see a steady decline today in our morality. It can all be traced back because we have abandoned God, and we see the abandonment in the midst of judgment. Even in the midst of judgment, that the Lord is good. There used to be a day that people would believe and be modest, and dress. And it's a sad day in our country today. There's so much immodesty in our society today. I'm not just talking about Baptist churches. I'm not talking people that call themselves Christians. But I mean, used to be a day that even if you wasn't saved, that you'd have some morals about you. But we're living a day that there is no morals. We're living a day that the pastors and preachers have less standards than the lost used to have. And we because that we've gone away from God. And we're trying to make excuses why we don't believe the Bible, the King James Bible. They say, what people say, it's hard to understand. And people try to say it's out of date. I'm telling you, it's just up to date as a modern newspaper today. We don't need to change the Word of God. We don't need to change words today. We just need to reread it, the Word of God today. And we see that the word good means pleasant, it means rich, it means valuable, it means agreeable. That word describes the very character of God. In fact, our English word God, we notice that the Lord is good. And regardless of the realm of life, regardless of finances, regardless of government, regardless of people, regardless of pain, regardless of problems, regardless of sickness, regardless of even death, that the Lord is good tonight. We're living in hard times, but the Lord is good. In fact, He's good to all people in all places, in all situations, at all times. In spite of how things may look, and by how things may appear, that the Lord is good. And that's the assurance that we have in all situations, in all circumstances, in all conditions of life. I'm glad to say the Lord is good tonight. Even though things may be falling apart, even though things may not look good, I'm glad to say that the Lord is good tonight. Amen. Here in the book of Psalms, here in Psalms 145, here in Psalms 145, we've noticed here what the Bible has to say. Here in Psalms 145 and in verse 9, the Bible says here, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. We notice in Psalms chapter 34, here in Psalms chapter 34, here in Psalms 34 and verse 8, the Bible goes here and says here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. But then we notice the Psalms, Psalms 100 and in verse 5. Here in Psalms 100 and verse 5, we notice how the Bible says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Oh, I'm on the wrong one. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations, the Bible says. But then Psalms 135 and verse 3, Psalms 135 here in verse 3, we notice again what the Lord says. He's trying to tell us here, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. And thank God all these verses teach us that same truth. They teach us that the Lord is good. He's always good. Thank God for that. It's easy for us to say the Lord is good when life is going well, but it doesn't change the fact that the Lord is good when times are bad. He's still good. Amen. In every way possible that the Lord is good. In chapter 1 of the book of Nahum, it describes the greatness of our God. But the one word that best describes that unchanging nature is that word good, that the Lord is good. If you don't get anything out of the message tonight, you just consider the fact that the Lord is good tonight. When you look in the book of Genesis, He's the breath of life. When you look in Exodus, He's that Passover lamb. When you look in Leviticus, He's that great high priest. When you look in Deuteronomy, He's a pillar of cloud by day and pillar by fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's a captain of our salvation. In Judges, He's our judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, He's that kinsman redeemer. Amen. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He's a trusted prophet. In Kings and in Chronicles, He's a reigning king. In Israel and in Nehemiah, He's a rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, He's a Mordecai. In Job, He's the ever-living Savior. In Psalms, He's our shepherd. In Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, He's our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, He's our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. We notice that in Jeremiah, He's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, He's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, He's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, He's that faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, He's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. In Amos, He's the burden bearer. In Obadiah, He's the mighty to save. In Jonah, He's a great foreign missionary. In Nahum, He's our strength and our shield. That's who are talking about the Lord. That the Lord is good tonight. In Habakkuk, He's the God's everlasting and evangelist crying, revive thy work in the midst of years. In Zephaniah, He's our Savior. In Haggai, He's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, He's a fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, He's a son of righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. In the book of Matthew, He's the King of the Jews. In Mark, He's that servant. In Luke, He's the Son of Man, that's feeling what you feel. In John, He's the Son of God. In Acts, He's the Savior of the world. In Romans, He's a righteous God. In 1 Corinthians, He's a rock and the Father of Israel. In 2 Corinthians, He's a triumphant one that's given the victory tonight. In Galatians, He's your liberty. They'll set you free tonight. In Ephesians, He's the head of the church. In Philippians, He's your joy. In Colossians, He's your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, He's your hope tonight. In 1 Timothy, He's your faith. In 2 Timothy, He's your stability. In Titus, He's the truth. In Philemon, He's your benefactor. In Hebrews, He's your perfection. In James, He's the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, He's your example. In 2 Peter, He's your purity. In 1 John, He's your life. In 2 John, He's your pattern. In 3 John, He's your motivation. In Jude, He's the foundation of your faith. But in Revelation, He's the coming King. I'm talking about our Lord. I'm talking about our Jesus. I tell you, that should excite us tonight. What the Lord is, that He is good. He's that living stone. He's that advocate. He's that Alpha and Omega. He's that anointed one. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's that bread of life. He's the brightness of His glory. He's that chief shepherd. He's that counselor. He's the deliverer. He's that Emmanuel. He's that eternal life. He's the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting God. He's a faithful and true tonight. He's that faithful witness. He's the gift of God. He's the God of my Savior. He's a God with us. He's that great shepherd. He is at limit tonight. He's that hidden manna. He's that high priest. He's a holy one of God. He's a horn of salvation. He is a I am tonight. He's the image of God. He is Jesus. He's the judge. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's that Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's a man from heaven. He's that Master. Amen. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He's that Messiah. He's the mighty God. He's a morning star. He's the one husband. He's the power of God. He's the power of praise. He's that prophet. He's a redeemer. He's the rose of Sharon tonight. Oh, we notice that he is the Savior. He's the seed of Abraham. He's the servant of the Father. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of the Most High God. He's that Amen. He's the highest. He's alive. He's a judge. He's a mercy seat. He's the resurrection of life. He's that sacrifice. He's that truth. He's the vine. He's the way. He's the word. He is the tree of life. He's that true bread from heaven. He's that true vine. He is who was and is to come. That's our Lord. Amen. He's the wisdom of God. He is wonderful. He is the Word of God because He is good. Amen. But then we have a heavenly assurance. Let me slow down a little bit before I have a heart attack. Amen. I can't preach like that for 45 minutes like I used to. Amen. But the heavenly, we notice that heavenly assistance, that name reminds these people of that God is a stronghold in a time of trouble. And that word stronghold is a place of safety. It's a place of protection. It's a place of refuge. It's a safe harbor in the time of storm. And sooner or later, we'll all need a stronghold. Troubles will come eventually in our life. And that word, and thank God that He's there to help us. When the troubles come and problems come in your life, I'm glad that God will help us tonight. We have a place in which we can flee in the day of trouble, a place for the hurts, a place of horrors of life that cannot follow us. There's a place of safety for the people of God. And the verse says that God is jealous. And when you and I become jealous, it's because we're afraid of losing something or someone that's dear to us. And when we become jealous, it's always a manifestation of our fallen nature. In other words, the human jealousy is a sin. But when the Bible says that God is jealous, that does not imply that God is guilty of sin. God is not afraid of losing us. God is not afraid that someone will take us away from evil. We are His, and no one can ever change that. And what it means is that God views us as a precious possession of God, and that He places Himself between us and these persons or these events that would harm us. And imagine if you take your child down to the zoo, and while you're there at the zoo, a lion escapes from that cage at the zoo. And would you like to do anything in your power to place yourself between that lion, between yourself and that lion, if it's one of your grandkids, and has his way in the whirlwind, in the storm, and the clutch of the dust of his feet? It simply reminds us that He's in control, and our God is sovereign, and His winds, and those waves, they obey His will. And when the storms of life rise again against you, and the winds of adversity are baffling your life, you'll discover that there is a place of refuge for the child of God. You'll discover that there's peace in the midst of the storm. You'll discover that God is directing your path for His glory. And thank God for that. And we've learned the truth that even when we cannot see the way, that He is the way. When it seems you don't see how it's going to be done, you don't don't see how you're going to be able to pay the next bill. You don't see how you're going to overcome that trial that you're going through. But I'm glad that the Lord is good. When you can't see the direction, He knows the direction. When you don't know how the next step you're going to go in your church, you don't know how you're going to preach that next message, the Lord knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's ahead of you for the glory of God. We have a heavenly assurance. We have a heavenly assistance. But we have a heavenly acquaintance. We're told that He knoweth that trust in Him. And that word knoweth, to know by experience. And that word trust means to flee and to trust in God. And the phrase reminds us that God knows His people. He knows them by name. Amen. He knows where you are. He knows what you're facing tonight. He knows the details of your life. Even the very hair of your head are numbered. He knows you intimately. He knows you compassionately. He knows you completely. There's nothing about you or your life or your situation that's ever escaped His attention tonight. Just like Hagar when she fled for Abraham. God knows. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows the sheep. In fact, He knows them intimately. He declares the depths of His knowledge and the completeness of His care for those that belong to Him. And by the way, His sheep will know Him too. Amen. His sheep know His voice. His sheep know when He speaks. And they respond to His words when He speaks. And they're in constant a state of a two-way communication with that great shepherd. And just so you know that the Lord's people are more than just a dumb and defenseless and directionless sheep. But we're elevated far beyond that. John calls us His friends. And that word friends means associate. You let that sink in. He associates with us that we're His friends. Amen. They say you're known by the company that you keep. And it sounds to me like the Lord are people in good company tonight. And thank God for that. He's that shepherd of His sheep. He's that friend to His associate. But it even gets better in the book in Hebrews chapter 2. He tells us that we're His brethren. Amen. And that word brother, those are the same womb. He's more than the leader of a bunch of dumb animals. He's more than a friend of a gang of sinners. But He saved us by His grace. He's brought us into His family. And there's a heavenly acquaintance. And He gives hope in that day of trouble. I'm glad I'm His brethren. I'm glad that you're His sister. That we're part of the family of God. I have a preacher friend down in Louisiana. He calls everyone brother. But you know what? If you're saved, you're my brother. Amen. Back 12 years ago, we had our first African family came in our church. And his name was Brother Bertrand. And they came from Nigeria, West Africa. They were with us for about 12 years before they moved to Canada. And we were somewhere and someone was wanting to know who he was. And I said, this is my brother. And they look at me because he's dark as you can be. And I said, he's my brother. He's my Christian brother. Amen. And so I'm glad tonight that we're a brother in the Lord. I'm glad we're a family of God. I'm glad He cares for us. I'm glad that He loves us tonight. I'm glad He's still saving souls tonight. I'm glad we're still seeing churches started and planted for the glory of God. I'm glad that preachers are still preaching. There's still some people standing in these last days. They may not be standing like they used to stand. Maybe there's not as many people, but thank God there's a remnant of people that's still preaching His Word. They're still standing for God. And we need to keep on standing. We don't need to give in. We don't need to throw in the towel. We don't need to say no one cares me. I'm glad to say the Lord is good tonight. And I want to remind you as I close that the Lord is good. It might be a good time to come before Him tonight and just praise Him tonight for His goodness. You got a place to sleep tonight? Thank the Lord. There's people that sleep on the streets tonight. You got a little bit of money in your bank account? Thank the Lord for that. There are some people don't have any money in their bank account. God's been good to us. You got a vehicle to drive? Thank the Lord for that. You got air conditioning in your house? Better thank the Lord for that. I don't have air conditioning in my house back in England. Needless to say, we don't hardly ever get above 70 in the summer. But we are seeing a heat wave. In England, we don't have air conditioning in our house. When we first went to England, you didn't have air conditioning in your car. But I sure thank God that rental car out there got good air conditioning. I tell you, it's hot. hot. We're not used to this. We're used to the average temperature in the summer, 60, 70 degrees. And so, you know, what is this thing called? It's coming off my brow. It's sweat. I'm not used to that. Amen. But thank the Lord. Thank the Lord we got that. Thank the Lord. If you got a good godly wife, thank the Lord for that. You got a good godly husband, thank the Lord for that. God's blessed you with children, thank the Lord for that. God's given you some grandchildren, thank the Lord. And I haven't got the chance to show Brother Shepherd. Our daughter just had a baby 3 weeks ago, so we got our very first granddaughter. And so we're trying to spoil her as much as we can before we fly back. It's amazing what you do for your grandkids. I was preaching way up in North Carolina this past weekend, and then we drove all the way to Alabama to see our granddaughter for a day or two, for 2 days, and then we left to go to Kentucky. And when we go here, then tomorrow we're heading over to Somerset, Kentucky for a Jubilee. And then after we leave there, we're driving all the way back to Alabama to see that grandbaby. Amen. And then we go down to Faith Baptist Camp for the week. And then before we fly out, we're going to see that grandbaby once again. And then we go back. Amen. Trying to see all we can. And her name is Scarlet Rose. Scarlet Rose. And she is a little bundle of joy. I call her half pint. She's just getting out of preemie clothes, even though she was a preemie baby. But thank the Lord she's healthy, and thank the Lord for that. But you know, when you think about how good God's been to us, because you listen to the news, they tell you everything's wrong, that everything's going wrong, the world's falling apart. But I want to thank the Lord. I got a godly wife that loves the Lord. She's never bucked me to serve God on the other side of the world. Two wonderful children. Got a son that loves the Lord. Goes to a Baptist church there in Tennessee. He's a plumber serving the Lord in his church. Got a daughter and son. Got a daughter that loves the Lord. Goes to church down in Alabama. And thank the Lord for my son-in-law. Thank the Lord for him. Good godly son-in-law that loves the Lord. Sunday, he just announced his call to preach. And boy, that excited me. My wife and I, we really want her to marry a preacher. But God gave us liberty. He said, well, I believe it's God's will. And I was just waiting. That was desire of my heart for her to be married to a preacher. Because I believe my daughter would make a fine preacher's wife. And then Sunday, he came, when we first, a couple weeks, when the baby was born, Scarlett was born, he said, I want to show you my new Bible. I thought, this is different. You know, he's never got all excited about his Bible. You know, he always had a Bible, but he got really excited about this Allen Bible, one of these Allen Bibles. I don't know what that all means. All I know is it costs a lot of money, I think, those Allen Bibles. And he's all excited about that and showing me. And he's talked. I noticed how he's talking to his pastor more and more about things he saw in the scriptures when he read it. And I said, boy, he's about ready to announce his call to preach. Amen. But we didn't say anything to him. I want God to call him. And boy, praise the Lord, for they got a son-in-law that's called to preach. And praise God for that. God's just being good to us tonight. And there was like one day, there's a little boy is telling his grandmother. He said, everything in life was going wrong. And he told her about his problems. He told about problems down at school. He told about problems down in the family. He told problems about his friends. And meanwhile, his grandmother was baking a cake. And she asked her grandson, if you like a little snack, which of course, what boys are going to say don't like a little snack? And he said, what about having some cooking oil? And his grandma said, Grandma, I don't want no, that sounds yucky. I don't want cooking oil. Then she said, well, about a couple raw eggs. His grandma, that's gross. I don't want some raw eggs. And then she said, well, would you like some flour? Or maybe you want some baking soda? Said, Grandma, those things are all yucky. And she finally said, well, yes, all those things seem bad by themselves. But when they're all put together in the right way, they make a wonderful, delicious cake. And God works the same way, that many times we wonder why he would let us go through the bad, and why does God allow us go through difficult times? But we need to trust in him despite of the circumstance, and eventually together all things will work out wonderful in the life of a Christian. I don't know what you're experiencing tonight, but I want to leave you the final thought, that the Lord is good tonight. He is good tonight. You want to be blessed of God? Give God the glory. He's wonderful tonight. If you're listening by way of radio, God loves you tonight. Don't think this world has nothing to offer. But I'm glad He has everything to offer. You might be listening to Christian radio tonight. You might feel led to call and give a pledge to this church that's been faithful. This radio station's been faithful. And times are hard, but I believe God will bless you for giving to the work of God.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for the glory of God. We'll pray that Lord, that Your will be done in the remainder of this service. Amen.